You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Welcome to Eyes on Isles podcast episode number nuevo? Nine?
Let's call it nine. An even nine.
Is nuevo nine, or is that, did I just say egg in Spanish? I don't know any Spanish. Welcome to Eyes on Isles. My name is Mitch. I am one of the experts on the website, and I'm joined by
Matt O'Leary, the other co-expert.
It's convenient how we're both experts. I like that. I like the title of being an expert. Even though I'm nothing of an expert, I'm just a loudmouth, really.
Yes, just some fool they gave a platform, pretty much.
That was a very schemey laugh on purpose.
Yes.
Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
You're not sick anymore?
As you could tell, I recovered from my cold. Basically, just a lot of NyQuil every night for the past week and going to bed at 9:30, and I recovered.
So you're a college freshman all over again.
Yes, exactly. That's pretty much that's what happened.
Okay, let's get right into it because we got a few things we want to talk about. The first thing we want to talk about is those last three games, the California swing, let's call it. They played Anaheim, then they went up to San Jose. I like the way that the travel in this blew my mind. I don't understand it. They traveled from Anaheim all the way up to San Jose and then back from San Jose down to Los Angeles. And Anaheim is essentially Los Angeles. You know, it's a suburb essentially of Los Angeles. So it was a weird trying to travel. They should have just played LA. Obviously the schedule didn't work out, so either way. They didn't do too well out there in California, Matt.
No. No, they did not. They didn't score. That was the main problem. They scored six goals on the entire trip, and that's not going to win you many hockey games, averaging two goals a night.
No, that's true, especially when, like, Toronto is scoring eight a game. I know they're not playing Toronto every night, but, like, geez, like, you want to score more. Like, three should win you a game. Two gets you to the table where you're like, okay, you're competitive, but you still got to do more to win said game. And that's the thing. The Isles, so they left the trip with, what is it, a 1-2-0 record? Yeah, like, that's not terrible, but it's not great either. They, you know, they dropped 4 points out of a possible six, so to start the season. What's your takeaway from the trip? Clearly, it's goal scoring, I would imagine, because that's the first thing you brought up.
Yeah, for me, it's goal scoring and something we're going to get to later, the power play. But I'm underwhelmed by the Islanders' offense. I'll say I thought they'd be more explosive, I guess, from what we saw in the preseason and then just the potential on paper. Like, Tavares has had a slow start. Eberle's had a little bit of a slow start. So I'd like to see them click a little bit more. I know that Eberle's assist numbers are pretty solid, but I'd like him to find the back of the net.
Both he and Halls would, but, you know, that's all right.
Yes.
See, that's the thing. Like, I feel the same way with that first line. It just it doesn't seem like it's clicking. They're at least giving them the chance to click. Like, this was supposed to be the first line last season, but just replaced Eberle for Ladd. And Capuano gave it, what, like three games? And then he was like, in the mixer, you're going to the fourth line. That's a terrible, terrible Capuano accent, but you get my drift.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we haven't seen the Cappy shuffle, which I used to like to call it, when he would just pretty much throw names into a hat and then just pick out lines.
Cal Clutterbuck, top line player.
That's the only explanation for it, right? Yeah. I don't want to completely derail it, but, like, how else did he come up with those line combinations? It had to be a name out of a hat, right?
I don't know. Like, Cal Clutterbuck just came to his office like, hey Cappy, can I get more ice time? And he's like, sure, put you on the top line. What? Are you sure? Yeah, you play hard. Just go. And then sure enough, he's out there. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing. He's, why am I playing 20 minutes a night? I'm only used to playing 10. I'm just going to hit everyone. Oh, I'm supposed to score? Oh, God, this is way too much for Cal Clutterbuck. That had to be it. That had, like, Cal must have just asked him for more ice time, and he was like, sure, I'll give you double.
He's like the best salesman ever. Right? That had to be it.
It had to be.
But no, that's one thing I will give Wade credit for. He hasn't abandoned ship just yet. I mean, listen, I don't necessarily want to say we're overreacting, because I think our assessment is pretty accurate so far, but it is still a small sample size. So I'm not on the same hand. I'm not ready to like completely throw in the towel and say like, well, they're just going to be awful, you know?
Yeah. One of my buddies, he's an avid golfer. And so in golf, you don't count your handicap until the 11th hole, or so I'm told anyways. I don't know if that's actually true. I'm just going to use it as fact, as canon, and then use it and apply it to hockey.
Sure.
I don't think we should judge how they're going to pan out until at least game 11. So give them the month of October. And I know you're going to say, well, why, like, these games still matter. And absolutely they do. But I was speaking to someone on our Facebook, and I just want to get his name just to make sure. Charlie Wanen. Maybe, I'm sorry if I pronounced that incorrectly. Wanen, whatever. W-A-N-E-N. And he asked me about those the California swing and what I thought about it. And I said, I don't think the Isles have it going yet. As in, not only do they not have the chemistry, they just don't seem like they're in the spirit for it. And I'm not saying that they don't want to be there. It's just, I don't think that they realize, or they're not into it. It's just kind of, I'm doing what I need to do. They haven't felt that kind of, that bite, that fire to get them going. And I don't think they're going to feel it until tomorrow when they start playing the Rangers. That's when it's going to get real for them, I think.
Perfect segue, because that's what I wanted to bring up next was the Rangers. If any team is going to get the Islanders back on track, it's going to be playing the Rangers. Mitch, do you know how well the Islanders have matched up against the Rangers in the last 3 years?
Oh, you did some digging. I love this. I don't know, Matt. Tell me.
They're 8-3 against the Rangers over the last 3 years.
That is a good number. And the Rangers are terrible.
Yeah,
that's even better.
They're one of the few teams that are worse than the Islanders right now in the Metropolitan Division.
Yay!
But, yeah, give me that matchup any day of the week. It's a rivalry, and the Islanders have matched up extremely well against them over the last 3 years, so I'm fully on board.
Oh, hard. And did Wade already say that Halak's the Nets? I'm pretty sure he did. So we're recording this on the Wednesday, so the day before the game. And I think he came out and said that Halak's going to be a Net, which makes sense. The Halak-Lundqvist thing is a real battle.
Yes, and Halak usually owns that, correct?
Yeah, he does. So that helps. But I wanted to go over a few players. I wanted to get your sense of who are the key players on this road trip. Who do you think stood out amongst everyone?
On the road trip specifically, or just so far in general?
No, just the road trip.
Huh. Well, yeah. All right, wow. I would say Brock.
Yeah, I knew it. That's what I was trying to get out of you, because I know you don't want to say it. That was a begrudging Brock.
That's why. It sounded
like you're enthused, but you're like, oh, I'm dying on the inside saying this.
Yeah, if you gave me the whole season, I would have went Cizikas, but since you just went road trip, I'm going Brock. I know. Yeah. I just said yes today. I wrote it yesterday, so for today, Wednesday, to pump the brakes on the Brock Nelson love.
I know. It makes this even better.
I know. But the reason behind that is because, as I said in the article, Brock Nelson's wildly inconsistent. So he's probably going to go on a run where he's going to look completely lost for like 5 to 7 games in a row. So as good as he looks right now, I want to see if this success has any sustainability there. I still agree with Kate, who wrote that Josh Hosang is bringing out a better version of Brock Nelson. I agree with that. I think them on the same line is fantastic, and you're going to probably get Brock Nelson to his fullest potential playing alongside Hosang. But I just want to wait and see before I completely jump back on the Brock Nelson bandwagon.
Okay, so that's a perfect segue to the second thing I wanted to talk about. We're perfectly segueing one thing from the next. And it's Hosang. I titled the topic in our running order, Hosang the Savior, because he's bringing the best out of Brock. And good on Kate for writing it, because if she didn't write it, I had it queued up. So I'm glad someone else wrote it. And I like what she brought out of it. And it's true. Like, you look at it, he's doing being everything to get the best out of Nelson. He's doing all the work along the boards, and we all know that Nelson doesn't do all the work along the boards. He's lugging the puck in, that's Hosang. He's creating the space and opportunity, and Brock just needs to finish. And if there's one thing that Brock knows how to do, is shoot. Yeah. He's got a great shot. So it's just the perfect matchup. Is it like, okay, you kind of said it already that it's not sustainable, but is there any like figment of your imagination? Is there like a 1% chance that you think it can be sustained and we could see a 30 goal Brock?
I do. I definitely do. Because did we expect a 56 point Bailey last year?
That's true. That's true.
So I'm going to just be positive spin zone Maddie this episode and just go all in. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid. I'll say that Nelson, maybe Hosang does bring out the best in Nelson and he finally reaches that 30-goal potential. Or he goes invisible and gives you 20 goals, 40 points, just like every other year, like clockwork.
That's right. I was looking at the fact, and I knew that you were going to bring up Nelson as a guy that impressed you on this road trip. And it's to be fair, like he's got, what, the 3 goals? That's pretty good. But I was pulling out some gifts for this PowerPoint, this power play piece that I was writing just today. And so I took gifts of the Islanders power play. And there's one that I have there. It's the second one that I have on the article. And it's Hosang gets into the San Jose zone on the what I call the super dump Islanders break-in strategy. And you can see Brock just sitting there lethargically on the blue line as Hosang dipsy doodles around everyone. And because Brock is standing there, all of the Sharks players are like, all right, well, you're not doing anything, so we're going to crowd Hosang. And before Brock even realizes that Hosang's being crowded, he tries to do something and he's just forced out of the play. That's what we're dealing with. That's why he's so wildly inconsistent, because everyone could do all the stuff and open all these avenues for him, but he's just not there sometimes to see the opportunity opening for him.
No,
that's the hard part.
He doesn't have the hockey IQ.
Right.
He's got the raw talent, but there's just something off, clearly off there.
Yeah, no. And maybe this is it. He's finally getting this winger that's going to bring it out of him. That's making it so easy for him that it could work. And it's not to say, like you were saying, that Nelson is a bad player. It's just his skill set isn't suited for what we think he can achieve. He needs someone else to bring that out of him. He can't do it independently. And so I think Hosang's the guy. But with that being said, if Hosang is that good about with bringing the best out of someone, can we not put him on the second line and bring the best out of Barzal? Not to say that Barzal has been bad. It's just he's there. Barzal is on the cusp of being what we want him to be. If Hosang can push him over the edge, should we not think about doing that?
I think
instead of Andrew Ladd?
I think that's a fair point, because when I think of the future of the Islanders, I don't know if Brock Nelson is necessarily like someone they're going to build around.
No, God.
But Barzal could be a centerpiece of this team towards the future. Same with Hosang. So you might as well get them the chemistry now and then have that build over the next few years. If your plan is to have Tavares and Eberle long term as your top line unit, and then on line two have a Barzal and Hosang unit, and it like I said, if you put them together now, maybe they build the chemistry for years to come, like Cizikas and Clutterbuck have, because they played together forever at this point.
Yeah, I completely agree. I postulated that in another piece that I wrote about three Islanders players that need new roles, and one was Andrew Ladd, bumping him down to that third line. And it was almost unfair to Andrew Ladd because he's been a lot better than he was last year. He's already got 3 points in 6 games. He's on pace for 41 points. Like, that's pretty good. That's a better Andrew Ladd than we had last year. It's still not worth $5.5 million a year for the next 6 years, but it's better. So do we want to move him from that? That's a risk. And do you put Andrew Ladd with Brock Nelson?
Yeesh. That's one thing I'd be a little skeptical of. But I like Ladd. Like, I like him as a player. I mean, obviously, I don't like his contract, but I think he's, like, a fine middle six player. I don't know. I'm just happy that he's performing a little better this year. And like you said, he's already got 3 points. I mean, last year, the 8 assists was just, like, how does that even physically possible? But
yeah, he's already got a quarter of that, so we're good so far.
Right. That's my one concern, though. Putting Ladd and Nelson on the same line could be treacherous.
Yeah. Especially right now with the way that the roster is constructed, and especially right now going into that Rangers game where that third winger on that third line is probably going to be either Jason Chimera or Thomas Hickey. Because for the Rangers game, they're dressing 11 forwards, 7 defensemen to finally bring in Ryan Pulock. However, there's an asterisk here. Anthony Beauvillier remains on the sidelines. Let's talk about that a second here. I wrote here on the running order, WTF mate. If anyone's watched those videos, you'll giggle. If not, someone go look up the animated nukes flying around the world video from like the early 2000s and you'll have a giggle.
I think I'm going back to my age-old Garth Snow / Doug Waite theory.
Okay.
They're trolling. This has to be a troll move. I can't. This can't be real, Mitch. I can't. You can't scratch Pulock for 6 games seriously and then say, oh, we'll give you Pulock, but now we're just going to throw Beauvillier as the healthy scratch guy every night. Why are they doing this to us, Mitch? Well, it has to be just trolling, and it's working because I am extremely pissed now. It's working.
So you think Waite is calling up Garth? Hey, Garth, I've got a new dank meme for them Isles people. Like, I can't see it. I can't, like, they can't be, obviously. Nope. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. It's a performance-based industry. Although I say that, and if it's a performance-based industry, you put in Beauvillier. Why would you put in Jason Chimera? Why? The guy's playing just over 10 minutes a night and bringing nothing. Sure, he's got 1,000-plus NHL games. Big whoop. That just means he's really old. And guess what? He is. He's not bringing anything else. His speed, great. You know who else is quick? Anthony Beauvillier. And you know where he is? In the press box. Or wherever else they keep their scratched players. In the concourse. Taking pictures with people. Although maybe not for the Rangers game because it's an away game. But like, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Why? And Hickey's being great. He's like one of the two best defensemen that the Islanders have at the moment. Him and Mayfield are fantastic. Why would you break that up? If you're going to try to bring in a new defender, I'm sorry, Adam Pellick, you didn't have a good game last game. You're a rookie, so that fits his MO. Get out of there. We'll bring in Pulock, see what he's got. Like, what's, like, how is this hard? Jason Chimera, you too, you're not doing anything? Beauvillier, get in. Like, how is this so hard?
That's, you can hear the frustration in both our voices, and I hope that the rest of Isles Twitter feels the same way. I mean, just by scrolling through, it certainly feels that way. But
yeah, I haven't listened to Isles Seat, and I'm sure Becomp and Carver have also yelled about the Pulock and Bo situation. I'm sure. I haven't listened to it, but I'm pretty sure they have.
I was writing the dailies for tomorrow, and it's Ryan Pulock playing for the first time this season. That's the story. I looked it up. Do you know when the last time Ryan Pulock played a game was?
Like a full game?
Yeah, with the Islanders. Oh, not even a full game, but just the last time he suited up with the Islanders.
It was at the beginning of last season.
363 days ago. Almost a full year.
But he didn't even play a full game. Didn't he just play like less than a period when he broke his foot?
Yes.
It was like 20, it was like, it wasn't 20 minutes he played, obviously. He played like 8 minutes or something that night.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And then before that, it wasn't until the playoffs, right? In the opening round, was it against the Panthers that he played?
He played in 6 games out of the 11. It was 2 in the Tampa series and then 4 in the Florida series.
Yeah. So he hasn't played in just under a year, even though he's warranted it before training camp. Like, let's be honest, his training camp wasn't great, so I understand the trepidation of not putting him in right away. And Mayfield has been good. but there have been other defenders that have not been as good. Seidenberg, who's scratched, good move, although he's also older, so he may need, you know, rest. Pelech has not been fantastic. Sit him out. Calvin DeHaan hasn't been, like, he's getting better, so maybe that's why they're keeping him in. He's also a vet, so they don't like to ice those guys. But, like, there's other ways to do this.
That's another thing I don't get about the Islanders. What's with the love affair of Adam Pelech? Like, that the contract, the extension that he got? Why? He's basically a seventh D-man, and they love him for some reason.
Yeah, he played really well in that top pair with Nicoletti last year. When Hamonic went out, and maybe that's not a fair assessment, because maybe he was okay, but because Hamonic and Letty were so bad together, it made Letty look a lot better. So you're like, oh my god, this Pelech kid is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just because Hamonic wasn't that good at the top pair role. I don't want to get too many pelters like, you don't like Hamonic. I do. He's just not a top pair guy. And I would love for anyone to come at me, at TLO Mitch, tweet at me if you think that Travis Hamonic is a top line guy. And I will fight you tooth and nail and show you that he is not.
No, I love Hamonic as a second pairing defenseman.
Yep, agreed. It just doesn't make any sense. So, like, getting back to Pulak, it's great. He's in. Hopefully that helps the power play. I think you're the one who tweeted today that your dream is that the first Isles power play goal is going to be Ryan Pulak's.
I did not tweet that, but I endorse that tweet, whoever did.
There you go. That's how bad my memory is. I can't even remember what you're tweeting. But, like, I don't know when Bo is going to get back. And is there something more to it than that? Is it performance-based? Is that why they're keeping him out? He just hasn't been good in their eyes. Is he hurt? Although, Doug Weight is a pretty honest guy when it comes to the media. If someone's hurt, he's going to tell them. Right? Like, he didn't have to tell anyone that Jordan Eberle may not play because he took a big hit at practice. He didn't have to say anything about that. It's true. Not like Eberle was walking around in crutches and people were going to put two and two together. Same thing with Clutterbuck. He just had a big, huge bruise on his thigh. Like, he didn't have to say any of that.
Right.
So if Bo was hurt, I think he would say something. So I'm leaving that out of it. So it has to be performance-based. And looking at his performances, Bo's been okay. You know, he had his dips, but just like everyone else, right? I don't see him benching Nick Leddy because his game score stats aren't really good.
No, we won't. I don't think we will see that.
No, obviously. It doesn't make sense. But same thing, Calvin DeHaan's game score stats are not good. Or they're slowly improving, but they have not been good for a while. So why does he stay? Because he's getting 3.5 or 3.3? Like, that doesn't seem fair.
That's the nature of the business, though.
Sure, that's true.
You know, I agree, it's not fair, but at least we're getting to loop this whole thing back together to get back on track. At least we're seeing Pulak, because I think everyone expected him to be Hamonic's replacement, and yeah. We're finally seeing if he can.
Yeah, that's... I think that's what you're trying to bring out with the 363 days, is that they've had so many opportunities to bring him up, and they didn't take it. Right. And now that he's here, and they saved an expansion slot specifically for him, and they gave up a first-round pick, maybe not specifically for him, but to specifically at least keep him amongst others... Why don't you play him? So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits on that power play. We'll get to the power play now, I think. Is there anything you want to add on the Bo and Pulak scratches before we spend like a good 10 minutes talking strictly power play?
It is 100% Garth and Doug trolling us. Specifically me. That's the only explanation.
Yeah, they got you on their timelines. They're like, we gotta get this guy. We're gonna nail him. We're gonna nail him good, Garth. And they got you. They got you good. You fell for it, Matt. How proud are you of that?
Not very proud.
Man, it's not your finest moment. Okay, let's talk about some power play and how the Islanders are the absolute worst power play in the league.
Except for Anaheim.
Well... The Isles still have the worst because they're 0 for 20, and I think Anaheim is only 0 for 19 or something like that.
I thought they're 0 for 21.
Are they really? So then why were the Isles all the way at the bottom today?
Good question.
Yeah, let's you look it up and I'll vamp, but I'm pretty sure the Isles are dead last when it comes to power play percentage. Obviously, there are two teams, Anaheim and Islanders, who are at 0%. And if you count shorthanded goals, the Isles would be a negative percent.
That's probably why, because it is Anaheim 0 for 21, but they've allowed 0 shorthanded goals, and the Islanders are right underneath that, 0 for 20, allowing 3 shorthanded goals.
There you go. See, I thought I was making something up. How does Buffalo rank? Well, I guess I know they've scored power play goals, but I know they also have 5 shorthanded goals against.
Buffalo 17.
Wow. See, that's all it takes. And they have what, like 6 power play goals?
5.
Maybe not even
5. Yeah.
So they're at an even power play percentage in my books if you're counting shorthanded goals. But so how do we fix the power play? And I say that kind of facetiously because I wrote something, like I said earlier, about how the Islanders can fix the power play. But how would you do it, Matt?
Add Ryan Pulock. Give Josh Hosang the puck a lot. More movement.
Yeah. Let me stop you there. On the Ryan Pulock front.
Okay.
So based off of what Staple was saying today at practice, the Islanders' first power play unit will have the new age structure of 4 forwards, 1 D. And that 1 D is alternating between, was it 1 D? It may actually be 2. Sorry. It's 2. Letty, and alternating between Boychuk and Pulock. How do you feel about that?
I'm for it. I think Letty should be in the mix, and I think Boychuk and Pulock serve essentially the same role on that power play as the booming right-handed shot, so I think they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with them splitting time on the top power play unit.
Okay. I was a little iffy about it. I'm actually going to go look at Staples' tweets again because I was pretty sure they were running a four forward, one D on that first line, and it was Pulock and or Boychuk. And at the before the season even started, I had put out something saying, God, come on, ads. Screw me over here. I had said something that I want the Islanders' first power play unit to be that 4 forwards, 1 D, and that 1 D being Letty. But I wanted their second power play unit to be 2 Ds with both Pulock and Boychuk, and I called it the Arsenal line because it'd just be them taking clappers from the blue line. Either way, it's coming from either side. Sure, they're right-handed shots, but it doesn't matter when you're shooting at their velocities.
True.
And obviously, they didn't listen to me, but which is fine. They never really do. I'm just trying to find this tweet from Staple. Special teams heavy practice. First unit appears to be Lee, Tavares, Eberle, Letty, Pulock. So it is 3-4-2-D. I'm okay with that, I suppose. I don't like the interchanging of Boychuk because the second power play unit has one defenseman, and it's Pelech.
Ooh.
Pelech. Why?
Well, if you're going to interchange, then I would have the other, whichever one isn't on the top unit, the second one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you go with Pulock, then have Boychuk as the second power play unit.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense to put Pulock. Like, maybe it does, because he's going to learn something from Letty, right? That's the whole dynamic here. But then you just put Boychuk on that second power play unit. It doesn't make any sense to put Pelech there.
No.
What is Pelech adding? He can move the puck? Like, maybe else I'll be corrected, and he's going to score a bunch of power play goals tomorrow.
I doubt it.
I highly doubt it. Although the Rangers have the worst penalty kill, so this is kind of the perfect time for the Islanders. I don't like the construction of it. I really don't. I would prefer having Boychuk in. I don't like that his shot isn't being used, isn't a go-to thing. I understand we want to see what Pulock has, and that's great. Then you give Boychuk that second power play. Let him run with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you're going to have Pulock on the first one, then I'm 100% putting Boychuk on the second one. I don't think Pelech is going to give you really anything worthwhile on the power play.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, you mentioned something again about moving the puck around, and again in an article, and I want everyone to go and read that, not only because I want you to read my things, but just you'll understand where we're coming from a little bit more. I'll give you the title in a second here, but It's moving the puck around with urgency. If you look at the Islanders' power play, they're just not balancing that power play, that the puck around enough. So they're not creating space. They're not pulling and moving play the penalty killers away from where they need to be, away from their assigned spots. And so penalty killers can go right to them and pressure them off the puck. And that creates turnovers. That creates pucks going the other way. And it definitely doesn't create any power play goals for the Islanders. So moving the puck around with urgency is their first step.
Yeah, I definitely agree, because it seems like at times they, well, if you look at it from the other team's perspective, their defensemen can stay put and there's never really any urgency. You right. know, like they're not like tired. You know, the Islanders aren't tiring them out. That's the, I right. think that's what you said in your article, actually. Because they aren't moving the puck around. They're too stationary, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. They're very stationary. So the article is New York Islanders should take a page out of the Toronto Maple Leafs playbook. Because if you look at how the Toronto Maple Leafs move the puck around, and I understand there's a difference in personnel. I know we don't have Matthews. I know we don't have Marner. But we have Tavares. We have Hussein. We have Bailey. We have Barzal. These are very capable players to move the puck around. We have Letty. They can move the puck around on the power play. They're not incompetent people. So, but it gets me to another point, and that's of breakout. And I mentioned it earlier, that what I'm calling the super dump, where, and I'm sure you've all seen it, the New York Islanders have been rolling out this power play strategy for years now, whereas they'll move the puck over to up to the red line. And if you watch, there's a player that's always trailing behind the puck. So once they move the puck to the red line, they will stop. They will drop it back to about their blue line, theirs being the Islanders. And that trailer will then start with a full steam ahead into the zone, the offensive zone. The problem with that is that if that player doesn't necessarily gain the line, or if he does gain the line, everyone else on the Islanders is stationary, like you brought up before, and they're not moving with that player in tandem into the zone. So if you have that one player, like I mentioned earlier, Josh Rosang's coming in, and no one else is with him, no one else is pulling those defenders back to create even more space for him to maneuver and set up. So all that the defenders have to do is, well, I'm just going to pressure the puck carrier, I guess? Oh, yeah, we've got nothing else to worry about. We'll take the guy with the puck, and then 2 seconds later, the puck's out of the zone.
Like, I'm smiling. I was going to say, I'm smiling because you just described all 20 power plays so far this year, pretty much.
It's unbelievable that they keep doling this out. It doesn't work. They've been doing it for years. I remember just 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? No, it was last season. I spoke to one of our previous writers, Jen Lapka, about it. And I was like, how are they doing this? Why do they keep doing this? It doesn't work. It doesn't, like, not only are you not timing your players and running them in at the same time, is that the players on the opposing team see the guy coming a mile away. You're starting from behind your own blue line. They can see you coming, and they know what they need to do. And so they clog the blue line, and guess what? It stops.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense. Why do they keep rolling this out? I'm going to go bald pulling hairs out of my head. Like, I'm already going bald. What little hairs I have left are going to be gone by the time the Islanders score a stupid power play goal.
I mean, I pretty much hit the panic button at 0-for-20, but how much worse do you think it could be?
I don't want to envision a world. I don't. I know the ironic thing is I want to see how bad it can get. I don't want to see it. I don't. I want them to score a power play goal. I want this to be over.
Yeah. Like last year, what was there? It was like 15% for the year, right?
That's right. Yeah.
That right now would be good enough for the 23rd best power play in the league.
Which is bad, but still better than last year.
Right. I can't see them being anywhere close to that right now.
No. No.
And that's a scary thought.
Because these are points. Listen, if they were even like 1% more efficient last season, they could have probably made the playoffs. 1%, that's all it probably took. Yep. Maybe not, like a 0.5. Like, what was one goal on their, how many chances they ever got? Like, that's all they needed was the one to maybe change a game, win it like 3-2, and make the playoffs. Like, I know that that sounds ridiculous, but that's all it takes. And that's what's happening this year again. It's happening even worse, because last year they were at least scoring some power play goals at the beginning of the season. Not many, but there were some, and they're not doing it now. And it's worrisome because they're also not putting up points.
No. And that is my greatest concern with this team. It's the scoring, and more specifically, the power play, because even with Scott Gomez, it has not improved.
No, not yet. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow against the worst penalty kill in the league. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed it all comes out. Like it should. Like we said before, they should be getting their 2017-18 regular season mojo for the Rangers. It's great that they're playing them right away. Although last year they played them on opening night, wasn't it? And that didn't really help them, so... Yeesh. Now I'm talking myself down.
Keep the faith.
That's not good. Keep the faith. Okay. Do you have anything else? Do you want to add on the power play, or did we kind of like beat a dead horse on that?
No, I think we beat a dead horse. Let's move on to our social segment.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you got?
This story was very popular on the internet yesterday. The Islanders had Brandon Bloom, who's a child. He has cancer, right?
It's leukemia.
He has leukemia.
Which is a form of cancer, yeah.
But more,
He's eight.
He's 8 years old, and the Islanders had him out on the ice, and there was a lot of great videos. If you haven't seen it, we wrote an article on it. Kate did it. It was fantastically done, and I just got to really tip my hat to the Islanders because they do some of the best charity work in the entire league.
That's true.
Really,
yeah.
So... Yeah. No, seriously, like the stuff they do, and that was completely awesome. Imagine he got to sit on the bench next to Josh Hosang. How cool would that have been?
Oh, man. I know. For Hosang.
Yeah, for Josh Hosang to sit next to that kid. But for Brandon, keep fighting the good fight, and we're praying for you.
Yeah, buddy. We're in your thoughts. Oh, you're in our thoughts? Yeah, that's the one. So someone wrote on Twitter about how they see Scott Mayfield as a top three D-man.
That's a hot take. All right.
Your thoughts, my friend, on that?
I thought I was high on Scott Mayfield when I thought that he could be a sixth or seventh D-man, but that is some next level stuff. Thinking he's a top three. I'm going to go with no. I think his ceiling is a sixth defenseman, more likely a seventh fill-in kind of guy.
Yeah. So this is I'm going to get this wrong. It's John Cave, so J-O-N-C-A-V. It's courtesy of him. And I don't necessarily disagree because in the reality of things, what is a top three guy? It's just someone who plays on the second pair. When you look at your second pair, you're like, okay, well, who's three and who's four? Is it DeHaan? Maybe. Is it someone else? Maybe. So if you're looking at the depth chart, that's something else. But I'm seeing him as a second pair guy. Maybe. He's doing really well on that third pair. Let's see if he can do a second pair. Because maybe we got something more out of this guy than we actually know. So... I'm willing to entertain it. I don't see it. And top three, that means you're going Letty, Boychuk, Mayfield. Oh, hopefully. Like, that'd be amazing if so. Like, oh, my God. Like, that's fantastic. And he signed, I think, this year for, like, peanuts. Why not? And we'll probably be able to get him at a cheaper price point next year again. But it's hard to see. It's hard. Like, that means he's better than Hickey. He's better than DeHaan. He's better than maybe in Pulak. He's better than Pelech. Like, two of those guys, like, I can see him maybe being better right now than DeHaan, but overall, definitely not. I can see him being better than Pelech. But I don't see him any better than Hickey. I think Hickey's one of our best defenders right now for the job he's doing. So,
yeah, I agree with you there. I definitely do.
Yeah. The second thing I have is that our fearful owner was at a Yankees game. So, I mean, obviously the Yankees are doing crazy things on their way potentially to a World Series, even though they're in year one of their rebuild. How do you feel about that, Matt?
Did you see my tweet?
I did.
That's how I feel about it. The Islanders are currently in year 12 of Garth Snow in their rebuild. The Yankees are in year one, and they are on the verge of a World Series. I'm also a suffering Mets fan, so I am upset about this. But just comparing, not leaving the Mets out of it, just comparing, like, Yankees just starting their rebuild, Isles, like, this might be the longest rebuild in the history of rebuilds. It hurts my brain. It makes me sad, too. It makes me a little sad.
Maybe just baseball's a lot easier than hockey. Maybe that's the thing. Hashtag baseball sucks. Personally, I'm not a baseball fan. I don't mind going to see it, I guess. It's a good time out, but it's a boring game to me. Sorry, baseball fans. Although, to be fair, I watch soccer, so I'm sure like everyone else would be like, oh my god, Borefest USA right there.
I'm not a soccer guy. I grew up playing baseball my entire life, so I definitely am team baseball. So you hurt me there. Hurt me there, Mitch from Canada.
Yeah, I heard you.
Killing America's pastime. But yeah.
You guys just keep that stuff south of the border, all right? Just keep it south of the border. We'll keep our beaver tails and baseball-free zones.
That'd make you happy, wouldn't it?
It would, except that we now have a baseball stadium like not too close to my house, so yay me.
Lucky you.
Yeah. That's all I've got, buddy. Do you have anything else you want to add before we close this thing off?
Hopefully that Ryan Pulock stays in the lineup and the Rangers still stink.
Yep. To the Rangers. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the show. It is now a lot easier to rate and review a show on the new iTunes if you've updated your phone. If not, please do. It'll be a lot easier. We'll be able to reach more people. If you want to reach us, you know where we're at. And if not, here we are. On Twitter, we are at Eyes on Isles FS. You can get us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You can also get us on the website, which is eyesonisles.com. And that's, I think, the last point. Oh, individually, we have our own Twitter feeds, clearly. Mine is at TLO Mitch. And Matt, why don't you say yours, because I'm going to butcher it.
Mine's Matt O'Leary NY.
Oh, that's not so hard. All right, that's all I've got, Matt. Rock on, and hopefully the Islanders can have a very, very, very successful penalty or power play against the Rangers tomorrow.
Yes, that's what we're hoping for.
Amen, brother. See you later.
See you next time.